That's kind of the question we're asking you this morning. Did the federal budget yesterday give you any satisfaction? Did it answer the question you were hoping to be answered? Did it solve the problem you were hoping it would try and solve? Good morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this midweek Wednesday morning. The 2025 budget presented yesterday by Finance Minister François-Philippe Champagne.
This is not a transformational. This is a generational shift. And we need to meet this moment with generational investment.
So the budget presented, it was a big book, looked more like a telephone book than a budget, 406 pages, referring by the government as this investment budget bringing a generational shift. It's big spending in this budget and big hopes that come with this budget as well. Total federal budget spend, $581 billion. Now, that deficit number, $78.3 billion, which if you look at the five-year mapping, they are saying $300 billion in new debt over the next five-year cycle. But they are projecting that that investment will yield $500 billion in returns for the country. So there's a number of things in this budget. They're reducing the public service by 28,000. I got excited when I heard the news that they were eliminating the oil and gas cap. But, you know, I think we can pull the reins on that enthusiasm for a second, because there is an industrial carbon tax, and they're essentially, you know, they haven't really mapped out what that looks like or kind of explained how that transition will happen. But basically, they're saying that the oil and gas cap is gone if the industrial carbon tax can accomplish essentially the same return on investment that they planned with that. So I'm not so sure that's going to be the win that the oil and gas industry is looking for. We know that the Conservatives said, no, we can't do it, can't support it.
And on behalf of all the Canadians who can no longer afford to eat, heat, or house themselves because of Liberal inflation, we Conservatives cannot support this costly Liberal budget.
If I think about everything Pierre Poilievre said yesterday, there's one line that sticks in my mind.
I think we can say that while talk is cheap, it's very expensive when a Liberal finance minister does it.
I mean, that was some of the introductory comments we heard from Pierre Poilievre about the budget. So the Conservatives have already come out and say, nope, can't support it. Bloc Québécois accused the Liberals of presenting a conservative budget, said, nope, we won't support it. The Greens, for the small group that they are, saying, no, they won't support it. They're not happy with the lack of environmental or climate policies that are in there. The NDP, here we go again, the wild card in all of this, they are saying they're going to take it away. They're going to study it. They're going to talk to people before they make a decision as to whether or not they will support it. So whether or not it passes, yet to be determined. If you're looking at the budget saying, what is the initial impact on me? Is it making a difference in my life today? The answer is probably no. There's a few carve-outs in there that are really sector-specific, or maybe I should say individuals. So there, you know, there's a number of things that were addressed to try and, you know, reduce some of the banking charges. For example, when you're using an ATM or your debit card, there's some housing incentive stuff in there, some changes to income tax for those that are in that first income tax bracket, and then some for the second as well. There are a few changes, but none of it is really an immediate change. And, you know, I heard it explained, and we saw a couple of political analysts talk about the fact that typically when it comes to budgets, political parties like to under-promise and over-deliver. Well, this is one of those, like, they are swinging for the fence on this one. They're hoping for a grand slam, and they're basically touting it as if it is. I saw a funny thing on social media last night. Someone said, this is kind of reminding me of my deadbeat dad growing up. He promised me Disneyland and a PS5. All I got was bacon and eggs at the corner cafe and an Etch-a-Sketch. So I don't know. What grade are you giving this budget? I'm not quite at a fail yet. I know I'm expecting I'm going to hear a lot of Fs. I'm not quite at a fail yet. You know, I'm a person that supports defense spending, and so we see defense spending in here. The oil and gas cap, I've already said, I'm not convinced that that's really going to be the victory that many people were hoping for. I mean, I like the general notion of investing in infrastructure in Canada. I see the benefit, but that deficit to me and a number of things that really won't resonate today, tomorrow, or maybe even in the next decade for Canadians, to me, brings it to probably a D. We had Jason Childs on this morning. I think he gave it a C minus. What would it be for you? 1-877-332-8255. If you're rating the budget, what grade are you giving it? Or, you know, I'd love to hear your grade, but I'd also like to know what stands out for you. Good, bad, or indifferent, what stands out for you on this budget? Let's go to the phone lines. Cal from Oxbow, quick on the dial this morning. Cal, what's your take on the budget? Let's start with your grade. Do you have a grade for it?
Well, I have a grade. First of all, Evan, like you, I went through it, but you can't go through the whole thing. So I'm going to admit I'm not an expert, but I have gone through it. Evan, it's a definite fail. I mean, the spending money on the military, of course, every government's going to spend money on the military. I don't think that bumps it over into a passing grade. I mean, the deficit's ridiculous. Them talking about cutting federal employees, that's disingenuous because they're just doing it through retirees and attrition. They're likely to remove the emissions cap, Evan. We know what that means with the Liberals. They're not going to do it. The carbon tax is still in place. They didn't change regulations. Tax credits aren't going to do the trick. And all of those things add up to a slight drop in our dollar, which demonstrates that there is a cautious reaction by the world market to this budget. There's zero for the West, and now we have this guy crossing the floor and the bloc saying that this is a conservative budget, which is laughable.
Yeah.
It's not a conservative budget at all. All this does is demonstrate, again, the complete political and cultural divide between the East and the West.
I'm not going to disagree with you, Cal. I said I give it a D. I'm kind of looking at it like I'm not going to be going home proud if I got a D grade on it. But there were a couple of things in there that I'm like, you know, even the attrition thing. I hear what you're saying because they're saying they're going to offer packages. There will be some retirements to get that $28,000 public servant number down. But at the end of the day, by cutting those public servants, it's less of a liability for us going forward. $71 billion, Cal, is what we pay on employees' salaries for the federal government. So we have to do something there. I view this at least as a step in the right direction.
I'll give you that one.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I appreciate
you
calling.
That one.
I appreciate it, Cal. Thanks so much. 1-877-332-8255. How are you feeling about this budget? What grade are you giving it? And what about, Cal brought up the fact that Chris D'Entremont, he was a conservative MP from Nova Scotia. And I said in dramatic fashion, and I think Dylan from Saskatoon was critical of me calling it dramatic fashion. But it's what was it? If you're doing it on budget day, is it nothing more than theatrics? You're wanting to get some attention. I saw he was holding a news conference today. But if you are voted in mere months ago by your hometown people, they're sending you to Ottawa with a mandate, and the mandate is, we want you to fight for us. Here's the list of things that are important to us, and this is the team jersey we want you to wear. We want you to wear the conservative team jersey. That's a big part of why he won. I know there are going to be people that are saying, I elect someone to go to Ottawa and do what's best for me, whatever it takes. I gotta say, the majority of people, I really feel the majority of people vote federally for the party first, the person second. That's what I do. I vote for the person that I think is with the party that is going to do what's best for me. And in Nova Scotia, they voted for Chris D'Entremont to represent them as a conservative member. And he decides, you know what? Those guys actually represent what I think more than these guys. So I'm throwing my jersey off. I'm crossing the aisle. I'm going to vote with the Liberals on this one. And I'm no longer part of the Conservative caucus. I don't like that at all. I'd be ripping mad if that was my MP. I would be ripping mad. Now, I know there are people that will disagree with me. And I also know, by the way, that this MP said it the decision to do this came after consultation with people in the area. So I know there's people on both sides of this. I'd love to know what you think. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to talk budget. Happy to talk the crossing of the aisle. In fact, that's where Maurice from Milestone is going to take me next. Maurice, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. So what's your thought on this decision made by the Nova Scotia MP?
Well, I actually live in his riding.
Okay.
I'm from Nova Scotia. I work out here. Long story. But anyways, everybody knows Chris. Chris is a career politician. He got elected provincial politics, I think, in 2002. Did 17 years in provincial politics. Did very well. I think this is his third term federal. He was deputy speaker of the House there last time around. So I think Chris is truly doing what he thinks is best for the people of our riding.
So
he's not a rookie MP. He's okay. A career politician. And he's a very personable guy. Everybody knows him. He knows everybody. And I think he's doing what he thinks is best for people in what used to be Southwest Nova. Now it's Annapolis, the KD, right? He's a Francophone. So it's a big riding, and he's always on social media. And I think he's doing what he truly thinks is best for us.
And do you think, you yourself and the others that voted for him, do you think most people are supporting him on this decision?
Probably. I come from a conservative family, right? So I was surprised when I got the text yesterday that he did that. But he's got a clean career, right? You go look back, all the stuff he did. He held portfolios at provincial government, right? And I think he's truly doing what he thinks is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you are able to call in with some background on this. I was not expecting we're going to hear from someone in his riding, but this has been outstanding, Maurice. What are you doing in Saskatchewan? What brings you out this way?
Work.
Yeah. What industry are you in?
I'm in the construction
Good
network
stuff.
Industry.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for contributing to the conversation this morning. So there you go. You just heard from someone who lives in the riding of the conservative MP who made the decision to cross the floor and join the Liberals. And as you heard from Maurice, he wasn't too bent over it. And part of it is, you can tell there's that personal relationship. He said everyone knows Chris, called him by his first name. I think about MPs that I voted for in the past. There's been many of them that I also knew on a first name basis or knew them quite well. It doesn't change the fact that I would feel betrayed if they chose to cross the floor. 1-877-332-8255. I'd love to hear your thoughts. We're going to take a break. I know I got Edwin standing by, so Edwin, don't go away. I'm going to get you on right away. I got oodles of texts that are coming in on whether it's the notion of the MP crossing the floor or the budget. Let's go back to the budget. What's the grade you're giving it? Love to hear from you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Wednesday morning, and I appreciate you joining us. Evan Bray, great to have you here. We're talking about, we're really talking about the budget and the federal budget that came down yesterday, what grade you will give it. There's not a lot in there to impact the everyday cost of living for you and I. There are a couple of small pieces. This is really a much broader scale budget where they're looking at this generational change through investment, infrastructure, defense spending. The deficit, of course, very, very high, which is drawing a lot of Fs on the text line. And by the way, F is for fail, in case you were interpreting that wrong. Not to say that there aren't a few of the other ones coming through as well, but I'm asking you what grade you would give the budget. There's lots of fails coming through on the text line. But the issue that also has people talking this morning, and we just had an interesting call, on the notion that Conservative Party caucus member Chris D'Entremont, Conservative MP from Nova Scotia, announced yesterday on Budget Day that he was leaving the Conservative caucus. And although it wasn't initially confirmed that he was going to the Liberals, it has since been confirmed that he is basically going to the Liberals. And I said off the start, this does not sit well with me. And take the politics out of it, because I know there will be people that will accuse me, well, you wouldn't say that way if he was going to the Conservatives. I actually would. I just feel as if you've been given a mandate. People voted for you based on what you stood for. And I think we had someone earlier talked about the fact he also would have raised a lot of money under that Conservative banner as well. And so now what are all the people that gave money and that gave a vote, which is as important, how do they feel? We just heard from one. Maurice, working in Milestone, is actually from Nova Scotia, lives in that riding, and said, you know what, he's a good guy, and he's probably doing what he thinks is best for Canada. What I could have and probably should have asked him is, would you have voted for him if he was running as a Liberal? Because I made the statement that I believe people vote based on, federally, based on the political party the person is running for, not the person themselves. I mean, I know there's exceptions, but generally speaking, what do you think on any of this? 1-877-332-8255, Edwin in Regina. Let's start with the budget. What are you giving it for a grade, Edwin?
Well, first of all, it's not a budget because the money's already been spent. They've been running around for a year spending money that they don't have permission to spend. So I can't call this a budget.
Okay.
Second of all, the guy that left. Well, you know, that's fraud because he ran under a different thing, changed his mind. He could have called a by-election and ran a by-election, you know, when he decided. That leaves the Liberals running two candidates in an election with nobody else to be able to, you know, you can't fight two candidates. And the guy from Milestone, if things are so great and that guy's so great, why is he working here in Saskatchewan? That leaves us here in the West no choice but to separate.
Okay, Edwin. Well, you've given us lots to chew on there. I know there's people, I'm getting beat up on the text line. I know there's people saying, Evan, this crossing of the aisle is not a new thing. I know that. I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it because the person has been elected by a group of people, a majority of people, by the way, that said, you're going to be the person to represent us on, in this case, the national stage, but you're doing it as a Conservative. Obviously, the Conservatives weren't happy. I heard Andrew Scheer, Melissa Lansman. There's a few people last night commenting on this. 1-877-332-8255. Will in Saskatoon says, anyone reading this budget knows it's a disgrace. Any one of us trying to survive day to day in life knows you can't spend your way out of debt. So Will is not a fan. Are you? Phone lines remain open until 10 o'clock this morning. Lots of time to give us a call. Join the conversation here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. If the federal bank account is a gas tank, we are running on empty. We're running on fumes right now. The budget comes down yesterday. It was a big spending budget. There's no doubt about that. Really, the budget is, in their words, focused on the long term. It's got pro-business measures meant to increase productivity, inject certainty at a time where that is in short supply globally. That's what's in there. What isn't in there, at least very, very little of the budget, is tailored towards you and I and everyday cost of living. There's very little in terms of that. I know someone said on the text line, in fact, they said, don't read my name on air about this, but they said, you know, even Justin Trudeau gave us a GST break at Christmas time. I know that'll probably raise the hackles of a few people to hear that. This person, I won't read your name, but fair enough. So the point is, there's very little in here that people can look at and go, oh, that's good. That's good for me. And, you know, I gave it a D And some people are critical that I'm not moving that, shifting that to a complete fail. But there's some youth employment programs. How many times have we talked on this program about how hard it is for our children, whether it's summer jobs for students or just people that are entering the workforce to get jobs? So they put together a bit of a kind of a strategy, federal strategy, three federal programs aimed at developing work-ready skills through hands-on experience and training. So they're doing that. Another thing that's catching people and getting the attention of people is this whole automation of federal benefits through basically pre-filled out income tax returns by CRA. I think the CRA in general has people's eyebrows raised because we know the satisfaction of their call-in centers has not, the advice they've been giving has not been good. But essentially, what the CRA is doing, they will automatically file individuals' taxes to ensure they receive government benefits. So these are Canadians, lower income Canadians who are probably more likely to not file income tax altogether. If they file the income tax, it triggers their access to benefits. So that's why the federal government is saying this is a good thing. I probably don't need to explain why many people are saying, do we want to live in a country where the federal government is pre-filling out our taxes for us? Lots of people saying that. There are some taxes to middle class as well. The two lowest tax brackets, actually, Canadians with income below $57,000, and then those that have income between $57,000 and $114,000 will see some tax cuts. I saw the number around $420 per person per year. So two income families save $840. So, you know, there's a number of things. I know the review of ATM and interact fees and banking fees is something that could, you know, those things nickel and dime you as well. So if we're trying to look deep, you have to squint. But if you look deep, there are a few things in there that might have individual impacts. But generally speaking, there's not a lot when it comes to affordability in there. It's really playing the long game. 1-877-332-8255. Bonnie in Wadena, I think you're still on this notion of the MP that crossed the floor. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, it's unethical. And secondly, I'm just kind of wondering how much dirty money he got from the slush fund to do it.
Someone else said that, Bonnie, on the text line. Someone says, is this a promise to spend millions on wind farms in Nova Scotia?
Oh, I see. Anyway, the timing is a slam against Pierre as a leader, with his leadership race coming up. Being he's from Nova Scotia, which is progressive conservative, and the leadership there under Houston is progressive conservative, perhaps he wants Pierre's job. And I wouldn't vote PC because they are the same as the Liberals, Ford and Houston. They did not support Pierre in the last election, and I don't suppose they will again. So it's up to the people to decide that Pierre is the leader we need, and we need to get him in.
Bonnie, thanks so much for the call. I got a text here from Daryl in Liebenthal, Saskatchewan. With concern of MPs leaving one party to another when the MP in question makes this personal decision to do this, an automatic by-election should be triggered in that riding. The people should have the right to re-vote if they want their representation of political party to change in their riding. This decision should not be made by the MP alone. It's only fair to let the people of Canada make this democratic choice. You know, I know there are a number of people here. Yeah, here's the text. It was Marg in Saskatoon that said, did the Nova Scotia Conservative cross the floor in exchange for billions of federal money to build wind farms in Nova Scotia? You know, I know he was not happy. He was not happy. He didn't get an appointment that he was hoping to get. That was fairly, I would say, well publicized. Was that the catalyst for this, or was it that he genuinely felt the Liberals had a plan that would better serve the people of his constituency? And there are people, and I'm reading some on the text line, that are saying, I have no problem with this. I elect a person to go to Ottawa and do what she or he thinks is best for me and our people back here at home. And if this is what he thinks is best, then all the power to him. Here's Doug in Arcola said, you know what? I think Chris D'Entremont the conservative MP who crossed the floor, knew he wouldn't get elected as a Liberal in the election. So he flies the conservative banner, gets to Ottawa, and when the time is right, he can inflict the most pain on the conservatives in Pierre, and he flops to the Liberal Party. Should only be allowed to sit as an independent. 1-877-332-8255. By the way, Doug also scolds me in here and says, by the way, there's nothing good about the budget, so quit trying to find something. 1-877-332-8255. What grade are you giving the budget? I said there's lots of Fs. John in Saskatoon, I give the budget an F for failure. The Liberals are racking up debt that will take generations to pay off. It's like a person who takes out a new credit card to try and pay off their old ones. The Liberals are committing a crime against our future generations. Lots of money flowing around in here and not a lot of details on the text line conspiracy. Kevin, remember yesterday I mentioned corruption beyond comprehension? Of course I do. Not a lot of details. Same tactics being implemented to all countries worldwide. Kevin says, Carney is an economic hitman who will not only rob Canadians, he'll put us into so much debt there will be no other option but for the system to crash and implement the Great Reset. Digital currency, digital ID, social credit. 1-877-332-8255. Some people are really surprised that PharmaCare didn't really appear in this budget. You know, there was no indication in the budget that there's more money for the PharmaCare program beyond the, it was $1.5 billion over 5 years that was previously earmarked for the first phase of the project. And a lot of that money has been spent. So it's not in there. People are also surprised to see that there isn't more in there in terms of the environment. I think what's causing me to be somewhat skeptical is that what is in there doesn't have a lot of details. So we don't know if they're going to put a consumer price, for example, on industrial carbon, what exactly that is going to look like. I know there was lots of people feeling like there might have been a rebate on electric vehicles, incentives for homeowners buying their homes with more energy efficiency in them, but doesn't appear to be in there. And also not a lot, and we talked about this with Jason Childs this morning, not a lot of sector-specific aid. So steel and aluminum, the auto sector, lumber, agriculture, I mean, there's not a lot in there. Those sectors absolutely being affected by tariffs and trade, yet, I mean, you could make the argument, I guess, that they would benefit from government procurement and some of the things going on with infrastructure building, but not a lot in there specifically to address any of those sectors affected by trade. Let's take another break. We'll come back. Phone lines, I'll grab a couple more calls when we come back. 1-877-332-8255. What grade do you give the budget? Does it hit the mark? Is there anything in there that resonates with you? Anything good? And I'm also happy to talk about, does it offend you when an elected official crosses the floor to another party, despite the fact that he or she was elected to represent an area with a certain party? Your thoughts on that when we come back. Open Lines continues here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on this Wednesday morning. It looks fairly nice today. We've got sunshine, kind of cool today, but sunshine nonetheless. We will expect to see moisture in the way of rain, maybe even snow overnight tonight and tomorrow. So yes, you could be waking up to a white ground. Although I know I've seen some pictures from different parts of the province who have had snow and it's stuck around up in the north of North Battleford there. I saw some pictures from the last week. So it's not that snow is foreign to parts of Saskatchewan, but more of us could be experiencing it over the next couple of days. All right. Texts continue to roll in. Ron in Regina says the guy crossing the floor just came to the realization he doesn't want to be an American because that's where Pierre Poilievre is taking us. Sheldon and Estevan, with all the money being rolled out yesterday for defense and infrastructure, I see this as yet another Liberal scandal with all of these contracts that are going out. 1-877-332-8255. I want to go to the phone line. I've got John in Edmonton. John, back to the budget. Have you got a grade in mind for this one?
Yeah, I'd give it about a C. Like, I'm not sure the
exact detailed everything. But the one part I did like was the spending on national defense.
Yes.
I think it's a good investment in the future, especially with the Arctic and the more global warming, and there'll be a seaway there too. And I think like that's, it'll protect our resources, essential minerals, those type of things too. So that's why I give it a C, because no one's really ever put nothing into national defense for loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $1 billion actually is going towards the Arctic, to be specific. Of course, we know the defense spending is much higher than that. Someone also texted in and said, I didn't see anything there about cuts to foreign aid. There's actually $2.7 billion in total cuts to foreign aid over the next 4 years. $2.7 billion? Some people might call that a good start, maybe not good enough. 1-877-332-8255. I saw a text on the line, someone talking about they were frustrated to see that this budget focused on the cancellation of the luxury tax on boats and airplanes. That's right. If you're a person that's been holding off on buying that luxury boat or airplane, well, your wait is over. The luxury tax was repealed as of today. Actually, November 5th is the day that that has changed. So something else that was captured in the budget. 1-877-332-8255. Total fail for single income, low to middle income folks. It's never good. And of course, Saskatchewan was left out again. I know we've heard from some of the ag organizations saying that AgriStability Benefit, which it gets touted as being the complete savior for the ag industry. And we know it is far from that. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth and suggest that it isn't something. But for many people, they'll point out you still have to opt in. You still have to pay premium. And there's still lots of ways in which the federal government could do a better job of supporting the agriculture sector outside of that AgriStability Benefit, which has been really their focus over the last little while. Oil and gas is an interesting one. By the way, we have Brian Zinchuk coming up just at the top of the hour, the editor and owner of PipelineOnline.ca. Brian will talk about the fact that the industry, of course, watches very, very closely to see. We've heard Danielle Smith, we've heard Premier Scott Moe talk about the need to get rid of some of these punishing pieces of legislation that have not helped at all, not helped the whole situation with regard to the industry, expansion of the industry. You want to become an energy superpower, but you put all of this restrictive legislation in place, yet to be determined what the impact of the removal of the oil and gas cap looks like, knowing that right behind it is the industrial price on carbon. And that wasn't really explained well in the document as presented. Ian Lee was on with me yesterday, and I thought he had a really good analogy when it came to this notion of redistribution and how we need to incentivize growth.
In the last 10 years, I'm not trying to pick on Trudeau. It's just that he was the prime minister and these are the decisions that were made. We focused much more on redistribution. In other words, taking the pie and redistributing it by all kinds of social programs that we all thought were wonderful, you know, pharmacare for everybody and dental care and daycare and so forth. This does not grow the pie. This is spending the existing pie. So we're eating the existing pie. Productivity is about growing the pie or making a whole bunch of new pies. Everybody understands my analogy. You know, you make one pie in the kitchen and you're all cutting it up to eat it. But the better solution is to go and make a whole bunch of pies. Not one pie, maybe 5 or 10 pies. Because then there's more pies for everybody. And what we did for the last 10 years is we focused almost exclusively on just redistributing the pie. And saying, well, you know, you don't over there, you don't have enough of the pie. That guy over there's got too much of the pie, so we're going to take it from him to give it to the other person. And so, in fact, we put barriers in the last 10 years to prevent us from making more pies. We said, no pipelines. Oh, no, they're bad. We put, the tanker ban bill. Oh, no, we can't send oil to countries around the world or LNG. And so we put barriers in front of the growth and an investment. government. And so I think that the big picture takeaway tonight, when the minister stands up, we should all be watching, is he going to turn that around? We desperately need economic decisions and policies that are going to allow, encourage, facilitate businesses to grow.
Did that happen? We will find out. Devin Meskel will be joining us a little bit later on this morning. We've had Devin on the program before. Of course, he's the Professor Edwards Enhancement Chair in Business, the University of Saskatchewan. That's coming up at 10:30. Coming up next is our friend Brian Zinchuk, editor, owner of PipelineOnline.ca, Saskatchewan's energy news. Recently, there was a large conference, nuclear conference, in the province. What does this look like? I know Brian's got some thoughts on the next steps when it comes to the movement towards nuclear, although that's a little ways away. Also, we'll review the budget and anything that is interesting for the energy sector. That will be where we go next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.